All right, guys. So a lot of people ask us, how do they make a podcast? So I'm going to let you know a secret. On the easiest, most productive way to start a podcast and get it up and running, and that is the app called Anchor. It's free. They have all kind of cool creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. They will distribute your podcast for you to all of the major outlets, including Spotify, Apple, Google, and many more. And you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one simple, easy place. So if you're interested in starting a podcast, go download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Let's do it.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, backdrop.
Backdrop.
A mic drop. Backdrop.
Backdrop.
This is how I kind of explain stocks when I teach it to my students. That it's kind of like a giant pizza pie, right? With like a million different slices, and then each slice represents a share of a company, right? Yeah. And then if you buy one slice of Nike, now you're part owner of Nike, right? Yep. And then obviously the more slices that you buy in the pie, you have a larger ownership of that pie, right? But all publicly traded companies that's on, you know, the stock market, anybody can become an owner. And by buying ownership, whether it's in Snapchat or Facebook or Google, now you're a part owner of that company. And if the company does well, then the stock price goes up. If it doesn't do well, stock price goes down. And that's kind of like a real easy way to understand it. But I think that's kind of my take on it.
I think that's like the baseline premise of it. Like, right, like it's want to own shares. Like, we know what shares are. Then we want to delve into, okay, what are we owning? Why are we owning? Right? We got the how. Right? We can go to different places, be it E-Trade and Share Builder and Schwab and Merrill.
Can we just talk about that though? Because a lot of people might not know. I'm glad you brought that up. Because I get that question sometimes too. Like, how do you buy stock? So it's relatively easy to do now, right? They have apps like Robinhood. And like you say,
Scottrade.
E-Trade, stuff like that. Where you can just go online and create a username, password, and you know, to link it to your bank account, and you can just buy stock. That part is relatively easy to do. But the next part is where people stumble. Because the thing that I think people have problems with stock is that, okay, they know how to do it, but which stock do I buy, right? It's kind of like just throwing darts at the board blind. So you end up just randomly picking Netflix, hoping it goes up, right? So, like, you had something interesting. You said to us as far as, like, when looking at stock, it's good to know, like, what you're interested in, right? Can you just talk about that?
I think the biggest thing for me to help me learn was picking areas of interest, because the knowledge sticks, right? We all had classes in school that we didn't like. Like, we didn't like, I didn't like earth science. I'm like, I really didn't like it. So, like, it didn't stick. Even though, like, you know, you pass a class, you get a B or whatever, you're going to get in the class, right? But the information didn't stick with me because it wasn't an interesting topic.
And you just had to get through it.
Yeah, you kind of want to get through it. In this forum, right, I want to pick something that I'm interested in, because when I read it, I'm going to retain it. I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to build on top of it. So you're kind of an architect, right? I say my motto for myself every day is that I'm the architect of my legacy, right? And every day I'm putting a brick down for my legacy, because you don't get to tell people to say we're not here. So the same thing goes forward every other place of life, where it's like, all right, I'm the architect of my portfolio. I'm the architect of my knowledge base. I'm the architect of whatever it is I'm doing, I'm building. And it's never going to be finished, right? It's like a skyscraper. You're just going to keep on building on top of building.
Right.
Your interest is what's going to lead you to adding more bricks, because if you're interested in tech, well, somehow you'll probably end up in media, right? And if you're interested in that, you might end up in telecom and all, so on and so forth, right? And all of a sudden you have this wide knowledge base because you started here, but your interests help you build more bricks to kind of build your mental skyscraper, if that makes sense. So I always say start there, because you want to own the sexy stuff, right? Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google. You want the sexy names. You want to be able to go to your friends and say, hey, yeah, you know, I own some Facebook. Right? I own some Apple. Right? It's sexy. Everybody wants to own that. But the most important thing is starting off with interest, so that you can build a knowledge base and you can start to build your own mental skyscraper that's going to hopefully take you places financially and mentally where you're growing in both spaces.
Right. So that's like Warren Buffett, like his approach is he invests in companies that he understands.
Yes.
Right. So I always tell kids, like once again in the class, yeah. like, okay, what do you have on your feet? Everybody either has Nike or Adidas, right? Yeah. So it's like, okay, you understand the brand
yeah.
because you spend all your money on it, right? Yeah. So it's not like it's not foreign to you, right? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out, okay, Kanye just did a deal with Adidas, or Beyonce just did a deal with Adidas. Adidas is hot right now, or Nike, LeBron signed, he got yeah. Jordans coming out. So these are things that we understand. And we don't have to be a stock market analyst to know that I'm already investing money in these companies by buying them.
Yeah.
Why not invest in the actual company?
In a sense, you're making a trend, right? So there's a reason why that company went up, whether it be like the iPhone, right? Whether it raise Apple stock, or if Nike's putting out a new product or Adidas putting out a new product, we are the trend makers. You know what I mean? So like that's one of the key things we say. So after we tell them, hey, this is what a share is, the next thing is like invest in, put money in what you already are invested in. So if it's Verizon as your phone company, then maybe you should have stock in that. Or if it's Sprint, or whatever it is, right? Invest in yourself.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing, right? Like, we want to understand what we invest in. Like, no one likes an investment where you kind of don't understand what's going on.
Right.
And it's kind of like gambling now. Right. It's not an investment. Now you're just gambling. And for all that, you can go put your money on black in AC. And hope for the best. But we look at these companies, it's very key to understand why a company goes up or why a company goes down. The stock market is very similar to fashion, right? I'm willing to pay the extra $20 for Nike as opposed to Under Armour. Why? Because Nike's a little bit cooler,
yeah.
right? And that's the thing. You're paying for, I call it social equity. What I have on and what I'm dressed in,
if
I have on Nike, Adidas, I have on Gucci, I have on Prada, there's a reason why those items are priced in those spaces. They know people are buying them,
yeah.
right? And we all know it's the same factory that makes them, and they just put a tag on them, but you're willing to spend $100 more for this tag, right, than the other tag, because you want the social equity of somebody saying, okay, he looks good. Okay, I see him. Yeah. And that's what you're buying. So you have to also know why this company is going up, why it's going down. And that goes back to interest,
yeah.
right? Sweat equity. I need to now read.
You said that you have to learn how to read and know the interest. Okay, you're interested in one thing, but now how do you actually examine to see if this is actually worth buying or not, right? Yeah. So you can read, but like, what do you read? Like, what's good? How do you know if something is actually worth buying or not? Social equity is what you
social equity is kind of a term I coined myself because I always look when I go shopping. It's on a shirt. Is it something that I look when I go shopping or just in life, right? What kind of car you drive and what kind of house do you live in? What town do you live in? What do you have in your house? People are very much into the social aspect, right? Yeah. Like social media, you only really see the highlights. So it's like ESPN top 10 all over again.
That's a good analogy.
Right?
That's a great analogy.
No one ever kind of sees the grind and the failure and the ups and the downs and the ebbs and the flows, right? We just see somebody pop up and they have all this stuff. Yeah. Well, how'd you get it, right? But we don't care what the social equity says. I want that now. But you don't understand what that person went through to get or how they got or they could be lying. Whatever it is, the idea is that people want to feel accepted. No one ever wants to be the dumbest person in the room. People are okay with being the second dumbest person in the room because they're like, well, you're dumber, so you know what? I'm okay with him being dumb. I'm not the dumbest person in the room. Right, but no one ever thinks past that.
Yeah.
And so the idea is to get people to critically think, because a lot of things that we do habitually on a day-to-day basis, these are our habits, right? We don't ask any questions. Your mom says when you grow up, brush your teeth in the morning. Why not the afternoon? We're not programmed to question things. We're programmed just to accept them the way they are.
Yeah.
That's not how the stock market works. A stock could be a good buy and it could be going down, right, for other reasons that have nothing to do with why you think it should go down or why I think it should go down.
So that's the part that I'm getting at. So what could make it, you know, broad range, what could make a stock go up, what could make a stock go down other than what's obvious to the naked eye?
Right, like just perception. A recall or something like that.
No, it's just perception. Okay. Like, think about the market, right? This is all for Gazi, right? So as a CEO will get certain bonuses if a stock has certain peaks, right? They'll say, okay, you're the CEO of ABC company. And let's say you listen, if you can get the shares up to $30 a share and hold it around this range for 4 months, we'll give you $10 million. And then so on and so forth with getting the share price up. But it's all kind of like a fugazi. Why is it that price? Why is it up? Why is it down, right? Forget supply and demand and volume. A lot of it's just perception of the market. It's what the market perceives, what big money perceives, what somebody thinks, right? We get information. Now, if you own 3 shares of Apple and you like their third quarter earnings call, he owns $100 million of Apple and he hates it. Who has more effect on how the stock goes?
It's gonna be
he does, because he has more equity in the stock. So he has more say-so in terms of how it moves. Even though you might be right with your 3 shares, he might be wrong in his perception. Right, so all this stuff is perception based, and that's why the sweat equity of actually reading and engulfing yourself in the subject matter of interest is going to help you understand the company. And if you understand Apple, it's going to be easy to understand Google. It's going to be easier to understand Amazon. It's going to be easier to understand any other kind of tech brand, because the model of how they distribute their products, their ideas, and their messages, they're not like the same, but they're relatively similar and it's going to help you pick up on ideas.
Yeah.
Facebook used a tactic called the Little Bighorn, right? And they went into Texas, they went to University of Texas and said, hey, we want to give you guys Facebook. University of Texas said, nah, we're University of Texas, we're good. So they went to Texas A&M, Texas State, SMU, every school in Texas around, and gave them Facebook to the point where students at Texas said, yo, why don't we have Facebook?
Why don't we have it?
And Texas was forced to do business with Facebook.
Yeah.
That happens in business all the time, right? It's something that we don't pay attention to. But these triggers and levers that happen, you'll start to notice as you read, and I said you build the brick, right? You build, when you get to the second floor, you go, okay, I get that now. I can now read the tea leaves. I see this coming, right? I see what possibly can happen. I don't know what's going to happen, but I can have an idea based on how well I know it. You play ball. If I come down and I go in and out, I'm either going to cross or I'm going to go straight. So as a defender, you know what I'm going to do or have an idea so you can react a little faster.
Yeah.
Right? It's the same thing that we use every day.
I'm going to go backwards just a little bit because you said reading. And that's important. On the last episode, on episode 14, we talked about the importance of reading. And a lot of times we get discounted because we're not reading The Catcher in the Rye, right? What publications should we be reading if we're trying to invest in the stock market?
I think the Wall Street Journal is a good read. Barron's is a little bit advanced, but Barron's is a good place to start to read. I think Financial Times is a good place to read. I think The Economist, even though it's not solely finance stock based, it gives you a premise of outside the scope of how we think, because we think domestically, right? We think about what affects America,
right?
And when you're dealing with stocks and companies, these are global companies, right? So how does Europe affect this company? How does China affect this company? How does India affect this company? We don't think like that. We think, okay, you have a Verizon service, so you figure I'm going to invest my money in Verizon, right? Because but Verizon's a global brand. Mm-hmm. So what's going on in Australia? What's going on here? When you look at a country like India, they have 1 billion people, right? How many people in India do you think have a cell phone?
I'm going to say
50 million?
Yeah, some small number. 10 million.
109 million people, right? I have 1 billion.
Yeah. I have 1 billion.
So it's an arms race between Walmart and Apple and all these countries to get to India because they're building their middle class, right?
I feel like the same thing was happening in China. We spoke off the game about China Mobile. Yeah. And it was like, oh, they're trying to build so much infrastructure because they almost have 2 billion people, right?
But it's a race to the middle class, right? But when you look at the company on a broad scale, and I look at like a company like Netflix, and I say, okay, do really well. They have a lot of subscribers. We understand how it works. But they haven't really touched Europe or other countries yet, so there's growth there.
Yeah.
That's what gets you interested, right? And those are the kind of things when you start to read about companies. You go, okay, I'm interested now. Now I'm interested because I know if they're doing well here, there's an opportunity here, right? All we want in life is options. Yeah. And the same thing everywhere else, right? I want the option to go out to eat. I want to have options. But I want to eat here. I want to have that option. Or I want an option. What kind of car I want to drive? Do I want an Audi? Do I want a Benz? Right? I want that option. That's what we work for. We work to have options, right? So the same thing in the market is that understanding these companies now pull levers, and the more you understand what you're digesting and investing in, the more options you'll have. Now, it's a slow reward. This thing isn't I'm going to put money in on Monday and be rich on Wednesday.
Yeah.
This is a character choice when you're talking about starting from scratch, right, in terms of building your portfolio. So now you might not see the seed of your labor, right? It might go to your kids,
right?
Or it might be something that is a passion project and you can only fund so much. We have to be realistic. Like, everybody doesn't have 100,000 to throw into the market or a million. You know, you start with 1,000 here, 1,000 there. So you have to be patient with it and be patient with your own growth, the same way that we're patient in life with different things.
Yeah, that's going to lead us into a very interesting story.
Yeah, all right. So, yeah, so now you got the, you know, the groundwork. That was a lot. We're going to go into the hot topics of the day.
Yeah.
All right. So now we're going to go into some hot topics because everybody's been talking about the stock market recently for a couple of different companies.
Yeah.
Lyft and Google specifically, a couple others.
Yeah, Pinterest is another one.
Pinterest, but everybody's interested in Lyft and Google. They just, well, Lyft IPO'd and Uber is about to IPO, right? Yeah. So everybody's been hitting us up like, yo, can you talk about Lyft? Can you talk about Uber's IPO? Should we buy? Should we not? So first of all, we're not here to give you stock advice. We're just here to give you information. And then from the information, you can, you know, do whatever you want, right? Mm-hmm. So, Q, all right. The first question is that IPO, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people hear this term, but they don't fully even understand. Like,
what does the acronym mean itself?
Yeah. Gotcha. So it's an initial public offering.
A lot of times we see the valuation for a company.
Yeah.
And like, is that how the prospect they get the numbers?
Well, the valuation can come from a multitude of things. The valuation, you can look at a company and think that the company's worth $30 billion. You can look at a company and think the company's worth $10 billion, right? Yeah. Everybody has different metrics on what they value stuff. And again, the valuation is from without looking inside, right? This is just on the outside of your house.
It's like the appraisal.
Right? So it's appraising you. So the valuation could be correct, could not be correct.
Because I was going to say, because right now Uber is possibly, they look at $100 billion.
Somewhere in the realm. Yeah, but they're going to come up with a high value. It might be one of the higher ones, right?
Let's say $100 billion valuation. That's what they're looking at. And they've never made a profit.
No.
So that's another thing, right? Lyft has never made a profit.
Yeah. So that part of it is like, basically, once you go an IPO and you haven't made a profit, that clock starts ticking. Now you got to make a profit, right? Make some. And they'll give you some quarters to kind of get your feet wet, get stuff together, right? But eventually, now you're open to investors and public investors and other institutions and hedge funds who all have different motives. You might be a long-term investor. He might be a hedge fund looking to make a quick buck or make a power play, right? And that kind of gets into the market, if you guys want to think about it, it's like the ocean, right? You got sharks and you have fish and you have whales and you have eels and you have seals and you have all these different creatures. They all have different purposes, right? The octopus and they all just want to live their life in the ocean. They want what they want, right? The eel's not worried about what the shark's doing. The shark's not worried about what the koi fish is doing. They're all just living in the same atmosphere, but they have different purposes. And that's the stock market when you start to get into the exchange and all these different investors, right? That's a deeper dive.
Yeah.
When you get into this IPO market, the company is doing it because they feel like with the extra cash, they'll be able to take their company to the next level. The same way that you might take a home equity loan out because you feel like you can take your house to the next level and it'll raise the valuation of your house by adding the bathroom or adding the kitchen or adding something to your home, right? And eventually you're going to pay that money back because that's debt, right? They're offering equity. That's debt. They owe somebody money. They're using other people's money to take themselves to the next level the same way as people, we take loans and credit cards to take ourselves to the next level. It's what companies do, right? We're the CEOs of our own companies every day. Right. So your balance sheet of what you do on a daily basis, you're the CEO. You are Rashad is the CEO of Rashad Co. So the decisions you make on a daily basis, the same way a CEO makes decisions for his company. So when you start to look at it like that, it all kind of connects, together. You know, you're like, okay, I understand why they would do this now because he's moving in the best interest the same way that you would do that. Right. Like,
so then also, all right. But so Snapchat, right? Can we talk? They still haven't made a profit.
Okay.
And they said that they might never make a profit, right?
Okay, yep.
So, okay. So these companies come into the stock market, like Uber and Lyft, and they never made a profit. But from my perspective, in the easiest way to explain, people will still give them the benefit of the doubt because they believe in the business model and they think one day they will turn a profit, right? But sometimes they don't turn a profit, like Snapchat. So now what?
It comes down to potential, right? At some point in time, you get too old to have potential.
Right. It's like basketball.
No, it's about life, right? Right? Like, if I don't get it right at 17 years old, it's like, well, you have your whole life ahead of you. And then I don't get it right at 24, where you're still young. I don't get it right at 26, hey, you're kind of on your last legs. I don't get it right at 35. Like, fam, you just didn't figure it out.
That's,
like,
that's what Fox said, right? He was like, yeah, but dude don't make it by 35.
Like, at a certain point in time, it's the potential's gone, right? I can't use that as an excuse as to why I'm not accomplishing something. And so, like I said, all these things in the stock market and all these things in life kind of tying together. So, yeah, on potential, I'm going to invest in this company because it can be fruitful if I was investing. That's what the person's thinking, right? They're saying, okay, I get the premise. I understand the business concept. I understand how they make money, how they plan to make money, what they're going to do. First part. Second part is, are they going to execute, right? We understand now, but yeah, do I believe in the execution? And then if they don't execute, what's my next move? Because nobody ever plans to fail. Like, people always plan for everything to go right. And that's not how life works, right? Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, okay, I'm going to get my degree at 22. I'll be married at 25. I'm going to make six figures at 26. I'm going to have a kid at 30. Like, that never happens. Like, life punches you in the mouth. And, you know, everybody's journey is different. So that's why I said this stuff is all kind of like life-based, because at the end of the day, these journeys these companies are on are independent of their own. Like, the CEO's job is to do a certain job with the company and raise capital or to take the shares to a certain price. And Adidas and Nike, though they are competitors, they might have different, you know, operating procedures or different goals of what they want to do. And that comes down to, like, looking actually in the company at what they're doing well, what they're not doing well, and how their success or failure basically affects the ecosystem with which they live in, which is the stock market. For example, Foot Locker derives a lot of their success from Nike, right? Nike's the biggest shoe retailer in terms of sneakers. Mm-hmm. 2017, Nike had a very bad fashion year. They didn't hit on a lot of different things, right? So they had a down year. That took Foot Locker stock from like 70 to 30 bucks and dropped like 65% because they were tied to that. And then on top of Nike not having a good year and affecting Foot Locker, Nike said, we're now going to directly distribute shoes from Amazon. So the market said, oh, you guys are definitely in trouble now.
Yeah.
Right? And now you look at Foot Locker, and they've kind of built themselves back. And Nike had a better year. The 270s hit. And yeah, the whole, they have a bunch of different shoe lines and clothing lines that hit that did well. Yeah. And that ecosystem, right, they're doing well, affected Foot Locker. So the same way I said, it's like an ocean, right? The ecosystem and how we do things affects everybody. It's important to understand Nike because I'm going to understand Adidas. It's going to help me understand Under Armour. It's going to help me understand Foot Locker. It's going to help me understand Skechers. It's going to help me understand all these other companies that are in the same ecosystem on a daily basis. And that will now affect what I want to invest in, if that's what I want to invest in.
So would you recommend... like specialty? All right. Like, so if I wanted to get started in the stock market, right, should I just focus my energy and say, okay, I'm already interested in tech. Let me just focus on tech so that I can learn everything about tech that I need to know, Google, Amazon, Facebook, all of these companies, or focus my energy on fashion? Because then it's like, okay, once I master that, like you said, now one tech company is kind of related to the next tech company, and I'll be able to read those publications. I'll kind of have my niche. Or would you just recommend, like, broad range, learn as much about as much things as possible?
Like I said before, I'm a big proponent of read what you're interested in. That's the best way, because you're going to get excited to read. Like, I don't think people get excited to read. Like, you're not excited to read certain stuff. True. Like, we don't ever read the Apple contracts when they pops up and it's like, you don't know what you're saying. Yes. They're like saying, yo, we're going to take information, we're going to sell it here. And you're like, okay, whatever.
Agree.
Right? No one likes to read. Yeah. So the biggest thing is to do the things that you don't like to do. You're not comfortable. That's when you know you're growing. Like, if I'm doing stuff and I'm not comfortable doing it because I don't have a comfortability because I don't do it all the time, I need to do it because I'm growing. I don't need to keep on doing the same things that I'm comfortable with, right? But the comfortability is in the interest.
Yeah, just from a teaching standpoint, that comes with endurance. Like, reading endurance is a thing, right? Like, the first time you read an article, maybe you do it for 5 minutes. Yeah. Then the next time you do it for 10 minutes. And then by the, you know, a month or 6 months, now you're reading for an hour, right? You got to build that thing up. You got to train yourself to do it.
All right. So now we gave you some background on it. So now we're going to go into the next level of how you guys can actually get your foot in the game and start to make some money, because it's one thing to learn about it, but it's another thing to actually profit from it. All right, guys. So now we gave you some background info on the stock market, how stocks work. But now, you know, it's one thing, as I said before, to provide information. It's another thing to actually use the information. So now we want to, you know, give you some tools that you can use yourself as far as, you know, to get your feet wet in investing. So, all right. We talked about platforms, right? Yep. So there's a lot of different platforms how somebody can invest,
yeah.
Right? One of the apps is Robinhood,
mm-hmm.
Right? What's your favorite? Like,
So it depends, right? Like, do you bank with Chase, and then you can do it through JP Morgan Chase if you wanted to do it, right? Do you bank through Bank of America? You do Merrill Lynch. If you bank through Wells Fargo, you do Wells Fargo. So there's platforms there. Like I said, there's Scottrade, there's E-Trade, there's TD,
yeah.
There's Robinhood, there's Acorn. There are a gluttony of places.
Can you just explain Acorn? Because somebody asked about Acorn. Acorn has a unique platform.
So Acorn is the company, if I'm not misinformed, is a company that I think Ashton Kutcher is a part of,
yeah.
Where they take the change when you use it, and they buy shares with your change,
yeah.
And it's a way to get exposure to the market.
Yeah.
Right? So like the game that we're playing is all about exposure. You don't know what you don't know, right? So then reading, exposure, these sites, exposure. Now you're exposed to all these sites we're mentioning. Go on there, read their platform, mm-hmm. Read the offers, call them. They have customer service people, ask questions. Say, hey, if I choose you as opposed to them, what benefit do I have?
Yeah.
Right? That's the thing. We're in a bubble right now, and the idea is to get out that bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we want to preach is, yeah, there are a lot of platforms, and now the onus is on the person to do due diligence. I don't know what works best for you because I don't know your financial circumstances.
Yeah.
I don't know where you bank. I don't know what you're comfortable with. There are companies that have customer service reps you can call before you make a trade that will help walk you through stuff. They'll help find research with you. They have platforms. It's extensive stuff. It's very labor intensive, right? All this stuff is labor intensive.
Mm-hmm.
So now this comes down to how passionate are you about things.
Yeah. So read the fine print.
Yeah. And also, I want to let people know too, because a lot of times people have the misconception that you have to be wealthy or rich to invest in the stock market, right? Which is not, it's not true.
Because the end game, see, the difference of how people think, and not everybody thinks like this, right? Money is temporary, right? Comes and goes, ebbs and flows.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge is what we're mining here, like we're crafting knowledge, right? I can't take that from you. I can't go in your brain and take the knowledge. What makes the knowledge powerful is that you can build on it, or you can share it, and you can make other people knowledgeable. And if me and you both happen to be knowledgeable, well, then you have iron and sharpened iron, right? And that's where it gets powerful. And then when I do have the actual capital to do things significantly, I'm ready mentally. Right, because you can have $1 million and not be sufficiently educated to move. And you can have $1,000 and be educated, and all you're doing is building your knowledge base until that moment comes when you have that money to make a significant move for yourself.
Yeah.
So the idea is we're preaching exposure. We're preaching knowledge, right? Get your hands in the dirt, but it comes down to the individual person. How bad do you want to learn the market? How bad do you want to be a resource for your friends and family? How bad do you want to see your goals happen? I don't control that. You don't control that. We're all CEOs of our own companies.
Mm-hmm.
So again, bunch of platforms, right? We can give you the names. We can list them out. But at the end of the day, you have to do what's best for you, because I don't wear a size small. So I can't try a size small shirt on and tell you if it fits or not.
Right.
I'm an XL. Same thing for people. These platforms are good if you have this amount of money to invest and you're looking for this kind of customer service. If you don't want any customer service, you want to do it yourself, this platform's good. If you want to be able to walk into a bank branch and have a conversation with somebody about different things and it's a face-to-face, well, this is good for you. These things are all quintessential to what it is you're looking for.
Yeah, now I like what you said as far as you can't take the knowledge, because I had one friend who he made $1 million, let's say roughly, like he made $1 million young, right? Then he fell on some hard times and he lost pretty much all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And but another one of my friends was talking to him, and he was like, "You're gonna make $1 million again, easy." And when he said that, it was kind of like, I asked him later, I'm like, "How, why would you say that? You don't even know. Like, it's not easy to make $1 million." He said, "Because he already made it before."
Yeah.
So he got the information. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he understands how to do it.
Yeah.
So now you just got
to
do it again.
Yeah, that's like that's what they say. Like, right? The first million is the hardest to make.
You can't, like you say, you can't take somebody's knowledge. Once you have the knowledge to do it, you're going to do it again.
Yeah. Well, what makes him dangerous, right, like in terms of being able to get that back, is that he has knowledge and experience. It's one thing to be a coach and coach a sport, but it's another thing to play and be in that moment, because I can now coach from a different angle because I've been in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So we watch coaches in the NBA, and there's certain guys we look at, and it's like, that dude really was never in that moment, so it's hard for him to get across this player the significance of the moment because he didn't do it. Or certain guys are not able to basically talk or communicate. Like Michael Jordan, no disrespect, is a terrible owner. Like, he's not good at putting a team together or a gym and stuff because he was so great, so he can't compute how everybody's not great.
Right. Yeah.
But Larry Bird is able to get the most out of Indiana Pacers all the time, and they might not be the most talented players, but Larry Bird wasn't the most athletic guy. He was just super smart and very skilled, so he's able to understand that and put teams together that are not juggernauts, but they're a team that you can't walk over.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, right? Like, a person that has experience plus the knowledge base is always going to double up faster. So if I lost that million or whatever it is, I can get it back faster. Because not only do I have the life experience of what I went through, so I'm going to just basically skip these hurdles, right? These mistakes I made, those are out the way. So if I skip these hurdles that might have cost me 6 months in mistakes, that's gone. 6 months to a million, whatever the number is, right? And that's the power. We have to first learn, so we're knowledgeable and we're armed, right? I've armed myself to go into battle.
Yeah.
I didn't run into the battle with nothing in my hands to fight with. I'm gonna get smarter.
And that's, I mean, like, that's what we do,
right?
Nobody teaches us, like, especially stocks. It's not something that is learned in school. And if your parents have never invested in stocks, like, we have no armor when we go out.
Yeah. It's intimidating.
So what happens with most of the time, and most middle class people and in our community especially, is that people are intimidated with things they don't understand, they don't know, right? So what ends up happening is that you just stay away from it. And you say, it's over my head.
It scares me.
I don't want anything to do with it, because especially when it comes to money, people is not going to invest in something or that they don't understand. So this is what the podcast is about, is to fully equip you. But before we leave, I wanted to talk about a couple of different ways where people can invest in the stock market. Even if you don't want to fully dive in and do the research, and it may not be your forte, you can still invest in the stock market, right? There's other ways to invest. So there's like mutual funds, which would allow you to invest in stock market without actually investing yourself, right? Mm-hmm. It's being done for you. And a mutual fund is a company like a Franklin Templeton or Oppenheimer. What they do is they pull together, let's say, 150 different stocks in one mutual fund. And you pay a fee for that, but you're paying a fee because they're doing the work for you, right?
Right.
So it's like a 401k. It's a job where nobody really knows the money in their 401k, where it's invested. It's invested in the stock market, but nobody knows which stock it's actually invested in, right?
Mm-hmm.
The same thing with a mutual fund, kind of. Like, you're investing in a mutual fund. Like, it could be a tech fund, but that tech fund might have 150 different stocks inside of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the benefit with that is that, A, it allows you to invest at a low amount. It's like, a lot of times, like $50 a month minimum, or like $1,000 a month lump sum. So you're investing at a pretty low entry point, and you don't have to do the work yourself. Like, you don't have to research. You know, it's being done for you. And another way to invest is an index fund, right? So an index fund, it tracks an index. So we have like the S&P 500 or Dow Jones, and that's pretty much like a microcosm of the stock market. And so instead of you trying to pick stocks yourself, you're just investing in a broader stock market as a whole. And that's another way where it's passive, right? Because you're not actually doing the work. You're just mirroring the actual market. So I say those two ways in particular because we want everybody to get involved in investing, and we encourage you to learn and to do it yourself if you would like to. But if not, that's still not an excuse to not invest, because you can still invest in the stock market without actually having to pick the stocks or do the work yourself.
Right.
Yeah. I think the idea really is, on a daily basis, are you challenging yourself? Right? Are you today? I go to sleep and then I wake up tomorrow. Am I a better version of myself? And all assets alike, right? Like, forget finance, just aspects of challenging yourself. And when you start to challenge yourself, the reward comes, right? Slowly but surely. It's like, if I want to lose weight, sometimes I look in the mirror and it's like, well, I'm not losing weight. And then somebody sees you go, hey, man, you're losing weight. And it's like, I didn't notice because I see myself every day. So I would never notice the micro changes in myself. But in this kind of forum, the idea is to get better every day. And the great thing about the stock market and the great thing about all the things we're speaking about is that it's tangible. We can feel it. We can read it. We can touch it, right? I can go to a Verizon store. I can walk into a Nike store. I can, it's tangible. I can feel it.
Yeah.
But I also can pull up an article from the Wall Street Journal, or I can donate my money, right? I consider it a donation, right? So when I say donate money, you have to pay for the Wall Street Journal, but I'm donating to my knowledge,
right?
I'm donating money to my knowledge fund.
Yeah.
And then when I pay for Barron's, I'm donating time to my knowledge
fund. I'm investing
in myself to make myself better, because the better I am, the more I can do for other people.
Yeah.
Right. So part of my journey was that I understood when I got into the game was the better I do, the more I can do for people who don't know, because they're going to trust me because they figure, well, you work in this field, so I'm going to trust you. The same way I go to my dentist and they say, well, you need this. And I always tell them, you are the professional. I'm going to do what I'm told.
Yeah.
But I also want to learn. I'm not trying to just have dental work done for no reason. So I'm going to ask questions as to why that's happening. And you can now tell me, I'm going to learn. So the same thing premise holds true for this is any money or time you're donating to investing in yourself. So these platforms also cost money.
Yep.
Let's not forget that this stuff isn't free. It's not free to be knowledgeable, and it's not free to just become an expert in something. It takes sweat equity and time, right? In years, months, days, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
And it takes a financial investment. And I'm going to waste $20, $30 on stuff I don't need, right? In a week or two.
Yeah.
We always waste money.
Yeah.
So we always find a reason. We always find a reason why we should buy something. Oh man, them Jordans on sale. You know, they were $300. I bought them for $150. You found the reason.
Yeah.
Didn't need them. Right. Yeah. The difference between a need and a want.
Yeah.
Same thing with this. These platforms cost money. Wall Street Journal costs money. Barron's cost money. Financial Times, cost money. The Economist cost money to subscribe on a yearly basis.
Yeah.
This isn't like a chore. And if it is, it's not for you, right? Because you got to invest in yourself the same way you invest in your clothes and stuff that you might not have in 5 years, right? You might not have those pair of sneakers in 5 years, but that knowledge from the article, oh, you got that. You got that for a long time.
Yeah, just really quickly.
Or the knowledge from the podcast.
Yeah.
That too.
Which is free.
I just want to touch because, like you said, like not having the armor is one thing, and investing in yourself as far as literature and reading. Like in 2007, Rashad and a good friend of ours, Jamal, and my brother Greg, we started a company called Money Through Investing. And so, you know, we were into business, right? We didn't had no tools. We were just trying to learn on our own. And I subscribed to all these magazines. I read Business Week. And I got this great article, and it was like, you know, things you should look into. So like that was the first thing I did. I was like, what are my interests, right? So I saw Apple, and this is prior to the iPhone, hadn't come out yet. And I saw this company called Baidu, which was like the Chinese version of Google. I'm like, all right, Google's big. China, this is going to be next. And then I saw China Mobile. I'm like, great, I'm going to invest in these.
Yeah.
All right, boom. So I did it. I was like, the iPhone's going to be huge prior to it being released. And it was great for the first 6 months. And then 2008, market crashed.
Yep.
And I got scared.
Yeah.
And I took all my money out. But I still watched.
Yeah.
I was still watching from the sideline. And I saw like companies go up sevenfold. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And then they did something called a split.
Yeah.
You want to explain what a split is
a little bit? So stock split, they could do a reverse stock split or they can stock split, right? So if you have one share, and let's say the share is $100 and the company says we're doing a 4-to-1 stock split.
Yeah.
Now you have four shares at $25.
Gotcha.
Right? And the reverse stock split is like we're going to make those four shares $100. Right? So you have four $25 shares. Now you have one share of $100.
Yeah.
Companies do it for a multitude of reasons, whether it is to create volume, right? Because the stock market deals in supply and demand.
Mm-hmm.
Why is the stock cost so much? Well, there's not a lot of volume, or there's not a lot of shares that are out there that you can obtain, so the price goes up.
Right.
The same way that if like a sneaker comes out and then it gets sold out and it's $200 at Nike, but then you go on StockX and it's 500 beans, you're like, yo, but that's the value because there's only so many shoes,
right,
and the person knows that and they're going to raise the price. That's the same thing in the stock market. Sometimes the companies, right, will buy back shares of their stock to take them off of the market. by buying back the shares of their stock and taking them off the market, it creates, right? It creates more demand for the stock because there's less of supply out there for me to get my hands on. So intrinsically, it will raise the price of the stock, or hopefully raise the price of the stock, right? And raising the price of stock gives it a different profile. If a stock is trading at $150 a share, it has a different profile than the stock that's trading at $5 a share.
Right.
We're not even discussing the company. We're discussing how it looks from the inside, from the outside in.
Yeah.
And so sometimes companies want to go from being Nike to Louis, right? Or from Louis to Nike, right? Accessibility in terms of their demographic of customers, let's say.
Right.
Some companies might say, hey, we're trading at $700 a share, and we want to make our stock more accessible to people who can afford this range, say from 150 to 200, right? And by doing this stock split or buying back these shares or different ideas they have, they're acting on what they think is best for their company. And again, it kind of all ties into the ecosystem, and everybody's going to do what's best for what for them. And who makes those decisions? CEOs, CFOs, COOs, right? And the perception of the stock on the market.
My graduates from my school being Forbes,
bag drop.
A mic drop, bag drop.
Bag drop.